Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Good morning and welcome to Africa Link with me, Assumpta Latus. Our main stories this morning: shock, sadness and frustration as hundreds of migrants are feared dead in Mediterranean.
What really makes you pause and think is that it's avoidable. We don't have to have this happen. This is the big tragedy, that these are lost lives and they don't have to be lost.
Zimbabwe celebrates 35 years of independence, but many citizens have little to cheer for.
There is nothing to celebrate considering the series of abductions that has never been investigated.
Plus, the beginning of the fourth season of The Crossroads Generation. All that and more right here in the next 25 minutes.
Top story.
We begin with this very sad news from the Mediterranean. Italian and Maltese rescuers have been searching for survivors after a boat carrying nearly 700 people capsized off the coast of Libya early Sunday. The tragedy has been described as the worst in history. EU ministers are expected to address the issue at a meeting later today. Megan Williams, DW correspondent in Italy, describes the mood in the country.
The mood in Lampedusa and all of Italy is shock, terrible sadness, frustration that more has not been done. Last week, 400 people died. Now we're talking about another possibly 700 people drowning in the Mediterranean. For no good reason, really. I mean, Italy had a search and rescue operation that was mobile until late last year. It said it couldn't afford it. It was about 9 million euros a month to run that. It told the European Union that it wanted more support from them to deal with these huge numbers of migrants, for the most part escaping war and conflict. And the European Union has really dragged its heels on this. They've replaced it with the much smaller Triton mission, which is about a third the size. The ships stay much closer to Italy, so it takes them longer to get to the coast of Libya, where most of these capsizes are taking place.
And is there any information as to which nationalities the migrants were coming from?
We know so far about 50 have been rescued. One of the survivors is Eritrean. So certainly some of them are Eritrean. There haven't been that many coming through Italy from Syria recently, some, but a lot of those on boats coming from Libya up to Lampedusa or other parts of Sicily and southern Italy are sub-Saharan Africans. All we know is that this Eritrean survivor said there were about 700 people on board. 28 bodies have been retrieved, and the water is fairly warm, survivors are saying, so there could be other people who have managed to stay afloat and hopefully will be rescued.
So what you're saying is that there are hopes that some survivors could be found by the search and rescue operation?
Yes, sometimes the sea is just too choppy and too cold for there to be much hope. I think in this case, they're hoping they will be able to. There are 17 vessels involved in the rescue operation right now, as well as aircraft. And I know the Italian Coast Guard and the naval ships that are part of Triton are working very hard to save as many lives as they can right now.
What is the European Union doing to prevent such sea accidents from happening? It sounds a little bit ironic that they put out all these resources to find bodies while they could have done so in the first place and prevented it from happening.
Well, this is what human rights groups are saying, you know, that there's really, you know, countries such as the United Kingdom have talked about reducing the rescue effort because if you put more ships in the Mediterranean, it will create what they consider a pull factor. What we've seen is the number of migrants has remained exactly the same as last year, very high, linked to conflicts in countries like Libya and Syria and other parts of Africa. But the numbers of deaths by drowning have skyrocketed.
Megan Williams speaking from Italy. Now, the EU's refugee policy has come under fire after the weekend boat incident, with some activists calling for change. The International Migration Organization, IOM, says nearly 20,000 people have made it to Europe this year, but the deaths have increased by 9 times. Leonard Doyle, spokesperson for the IOM Director General, has been speaking to my colleague Crispin Mwakideo.
This is the largest tragedy that has taken place to our knowledge. It's far above the Lampedusa, the famous Lampedusa case of 2 years ago, as far as we can see. But what really makes you pause and think is that it's avoidable. We don't have to have this happen. It's avoidable by, you know, better conditions in the country of departure, Libya in this case, and it's avoidable by, you know, having better rescue systems or more appropriate rescue systems. So it's really, this is the big tragedy, that these are lost lives and they don't have to be lost. So without having a managed process of migration, you're going to get people desperate to leave. So you, I think the answer is that you have to have some prospect of managing the flow in an orderly and sensible way. Otherwise, you have this disorder and tragedy.
There are reports that there is some kind of uncertainty as to where survivors and the bodies of the victims should be taken. What is the position of the International Migration Organization in such an incident?
Well, I think the important thing is that there is an international obligation to return the bodies of deceased to their families, to the next of kin. Whether they're taken back to Italy, or taken back to Libya, is immaterial as long as the international norms are respected. One of the great tragedies of these drownings, and there have been over 6,000 in the last year around the world, but in particular in the Mediterranean, is that there seems to be little care for the fate of the dead and of their kin. And we are under an international obligation here to look after them, just as we are when there's an air disaster, such as the Malaysian air disaster a year ago. Enormous amounts of money and time were spent trying to recover the plane and indeed the victims. And in the same way, we need to respect the rights of these people who deceased.
Why is there so little being done to prevent these tragedies from happening in the first place?
Well, it's a very difficult issue, because the tragedies are happening in countries that are in some cases failed states, so we can't get access to protect the migrants. We know that people are leaving for all sorts of reasons. They're leaving for reasons of war, and plenty is being done to try and address the wars in Syria and Iraq. But that in turn is pushing people out. Equally, Boko Haram are pushing people out, as is political repression in different various countries. So the tackling this issue requires, I think, a broader international coalition than we're seeing so far. And indeed, pulling away the rescue missions seems to be completely misguided in the absence of a broader political support.
Spokesperson for the IOM Director General, Leonard Doyle.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
7 buses carrying nearly 700 Zimbabweans on Sunday left South Africa for Zimbabwe. Another 330 Malawians who lived in South Africa are expected to arrive in Malawi today. These are part of plans by African nations to evacuate their citizens following a rise in xenophobic attacks in South Africa. George Muhango visited one camp in Blantyre, where relatives have been waiting for their loved ones, and filed this report.
During the attacks on foreigners in South Africa, at least 3 Malawians are known to have been seriously injured. The victims also lost their property, including travel documents and other basic accessories. At the arrival camp in Blantyre, some Malawians are waiting patiently to welcome returning relatives who have lived in South Africa for years.
My name is Ellen Becker from Kwari in Blantyre. I have many relatives in South Africa, and my being here is meant to find out how many of them would arrive. What I want is to find out as to how many are there, but I'm thankful to the government for coming in to help in the repatriation process, because we have to hear from them as to what happened.
My name is Tokozani Chimbilinga from Kwari. My expectation is to see and welcome my relatives, because as a mother, I have to know what really happened.
My name is Doreen Sraj from Kwari. What I can say is to check if my relatives are there, because this is bad and uncalled for. However, thumbs up to government for the help.
From the look of things, it seems that quite a number of people that are here are also speaking highly of the government for this initiative to take these relatives back to Malawi. The centers to accommodate the victims are Kwacha Social Welfare near Njamba in Blantyre and Social Welfare in Malangalanga in Lilongwe. Lilongwe says when the returnees arrive at these centers, they'll be screened by police, immigration department and social welfare officials before being released to their respective homes. It is expected that by 1 p.m. Malawian time, the buses will have arrived here in Malawi with 330 people. Other buses are due to leave South Africa for Malawi this Wednesday.
George Muhango in Blantyre. Still in southern Africa, Zimbabwe this weekend blew off 35 candles. Founding President Robert Mugabe led his country in celebrating 3.5 decades of independence. But as Columbus Mavunga reports, a number of social, political and economic problems put a dent in what should have been a nationwide party.
I, Robert Gabriel Mugabe, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Zimbabwe and observe the laws of Zimbabwe. So help me God.
The year is 1980. President Robert Mugabe is sworn in as the founding father of the nation after independence from Great Britain. The late Tanzanian president Julius Mwalimu Nyerere reportedly told Mugabe to take care of Zimbabwe, which he described as the jewel of Africa. The southern African country is endowed with plenty of natural resources: uranium, methane gas, diamonds, platinum, you carry on. Observers say the nation has all it needs for its citizens to prosper. But that is not the case. 52-year-old Stanford Mutiswa, who witnessed Mugabe's taking office, says he celebrated Zimbabwe's independence for 3 days. 35 years later, this is what he says.
I think there's nothing to celebrate. I think there's nothing to celebrate, especially given the current economic conditions that people are facing, the poverty and also the what is happening in South Africa to Zimbabwe. It's evidence that there's a lot of poverty.
Marking Zimbabwe's 35 years of independence, Mugabe said xenophobic attacks were being done by, quote, misguided elements.
The act of treating other Africans in that horrible way must never happen again in South Africa or in any other country. Our own African people on the African continent must be treated with dignity. If there is any issue arising from influx or the influx of Africans into any country, surely that can be discussed.
Mugabe currently chairs both the African Union and the Southern African Development Community, SADC. During the same celebrations, Africa's oldest leader said he would ensure that starving Zimbabweans receive food handouts. But 28-year-old Ivan Takawada says that is not enough.
There is nothing to celebrate when the government we voted for is failing to secure us and to act upon protecting its own citizens so that they can enjoy what our fathers waited and some died for. There is nothing to celebrate considering the series of abductions that has never been investigated.
A report by Columbus Mavunga. And now, season 4 of The Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to a brand new season of Crossroads Generation, our ongoing radio drama about the daily lives of African teenagers, the problems they have to deal with, and the solutions they find.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
Today is the start of our fourth season, facing new challenges. In the last season, 19-year-old Nikki asked his girlfriend Mercy to marry him. Soon afterwards, he learned that he was HIV positive, which came as a huge shock. Nonetheless, Mercy decided to become Nikki's wife. Mercy already has a daughter, Linda, who's now 3 years old, and Nikki has adopted Linda as his own. The newlyweds decided to wait a bit before going on honeymoon and saved up for a lovely holiday by the sea. They just got home a few days ago. Now they're about to start back at their part-time jobs, where they work alongside their university studies. Nikki at the gym and Mercy at the university radio. By the way, Linda's biological father is Dan. He and Mercy had a brief affair when they were at high school. But Dan walked out on her when she got pregnant, and they've hardly seen each other since. Although Dan actually did try to crash Mercy and Nikki's wedding. Dan has started up a green business. He produces and sells handbags that he makes out of recycled plastic bags. And let's not forget Tina. She's Mercy's friend from university. Tina had a hard time after her parents died. She had to work as a call girl to earn enough money to take care of her siblings. But then she got an offer of a different job.
Well, Tina, the department has decided to offer you a position as a research assistant at the university radio. What? For a small salary. That is, if you want the job.
What? Of course I want it, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So what's happened since then? Let's find out in this first episode, Changing Times. We start off in Tina's office at the radio station.
Hi, Tina. There's someone here to see you. His name is
Dan Kanyama? What are you doing here?
Hi, Tina. May I come in?
Okay, here. Have a seat.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Alice. Actually, can I ask you a huge favor?
Of course.
Could you print something out for me? My printer is dead.
Sure.
Oh, you're an angel. The file is on the flash drive. It's called Tell It for the Diva.
Okay.
So, Dan, how long has it been since we saw each other at Mercy's wedding?
A couple of months.
So, how can I help you?
Well, because I know you're very busy with your job and your studies and everything, I will get straight to the point. I am planning to organize a group of young activists for environmental protection. And I thought you might want to join us.
I see. But what has it got to do with me?
Well, the environment concerns everyone. I've started to talk to people about environmental issues, but I'd like to have a bigger impact. That's why I'd like you to be a partner in my group. Because a lot of people respect your opinion. Your radio show on women's rights is a huge success, and I thought you could add the environment to the issues that you campaign for.
And what would you be doing?
Ideally, would be a group of people who passionately believe that we could live in closer harmony with nature. We'd use all the platforms we have to advocate for people to change their behavior. You could use your radio program to do this, for example.
Interesting. Please, let me think about it for a while.
Sure. It would really be great if you joined me, Tina. Together, we could really make a difference.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, Tina. Here you go. All printed.
Thanks, Alice. It's a whole heap, right? Thanks.
I see you've printed on just one side of the page. Have you ever thought of printing on both sides to save paper?
No. Why?
You help save the environment that way. Paper is made from trees, after all.
Good point. Look, Dan, right now I have to go to the studio, but let me give you a call later, okay? Just leave me your number.
Okay. Thanks for seeing me.
No problem. Talk to you later.
Hey, guys. Nikki gets back from his holiday today, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's great.
Talk of the devil. Here he comes. Hey, Nikki.
Welcome back, Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, guys. June, how's it going? Everything okay around here?
Excellent.
Great to have you back.
How was your honeymoon?
Good. Yeah, it was good. All right. Shall we get going? We'll start with some skipping exercises. June, where are the ropes?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Haven't you been in charge of training while I was away?
I haven't seen them since you went away.
Excuse me? What are you trying to say, June? Are you suggesting that I took them with me? On my honeymoon? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that.
But it's what you're insinuating.
Hey, what's wrong with you, Nikki?
You do your job, okay, June? Just do your job.
Hey, Hey, stop talking to me as if I were your slave. Just because you have big muscles doesn't give you the right to talk to me like that.
Hey, come on, guys. Calm down.
You tell that to Nikki. I'm out of here.
Hey, June, where are you going? We have work to do.
Do it yourself, useless man.
And that's it for today from Women Have Their Say, our program highlighting the plights, the fights, and the rights of women. Big thanks to my standby producer. She's been filling in for Mercy Msoto Jumbe, who's been away on her honeymoon. Oh, and talk of the devil. Mercy just walked in. My name is Tina Wigo, and that's bye from all of us here at 101 University FM.
The show when I saw you walk in. You were away too long on your holiday, Mrs. Msoto Jumbe.
Come on. 3 weeks isn't too long, is it? So tell me, did I miss anything exciting?
Fat chance. Come on, let's go outside. You have to tell me everything, all the details. So, how was the honeymoon?
Oh, great. Nikki took me to the most amazing place.
Wow.
It was good to have a break from everyday life.
Uh-huh.
Especially after all the trouble with the wedding. But
what? Out with it, girlfriend?
Well, he couldn't stop crying because of, you know, his infection.
I think you need to see the counselor again. Hey, come on. Enough about that. Guess what? Your ex came to see me today.
Huh? Dan? Why?
Come on, let me buy you coffee in the canteen and I'll tell you all about it.
Go again. Trying to juggle my classwork with work and family life. I have to hurry up and finish before Nikki gets back. Hey, Linda, please turn it down. I can't concentrate with that racket going on in the background. Linda, you naughty girl. I said turn it down right now. Thank you, my husband. Welcome home. How was your first day back at work?
Fine.
Are you hungry? Can I get you something to eat?
No, I'm not hungry.
Hey, honey. Are you sure you're okay?
I said I'm fine. Stop pestering me with your damn questions, woman.
Okay. No need to shout at me. I'm just concerned, that's all.
Don't try to patronize me. I'm not your child, Mercy, okay?
I'm not patronizing you. I'm just... What's wrong with you, Nikki? Why are you behaving like this?
Will you just leave me alone for a minute, Mercy? Will you?
All right. Fine.
Hey, Mercy. Wait. I'm sorry. Mercy, please come back.
And with Mercy walking off in a huff, we reach the end of today's episode. Will they manage to make this marriage last? Maybe we'll get a hint from Nikki's new video diary. You'll find it at dw.de/LBE. And don't forget that you can get in touch with us via Facebook. Until next time, bye-bye.
And now a quick summary of what we have been covering in this edition of Africa Link. Human rights activists are calling for a change of EU refugee policy after a boat capsized with nearly 700 on board. Malawi is expecting the arrival of more than 300 citizens from South Africa who fled xenophobic attacks. And Zimbabwe has celebrated 35 years of independence amidst growing political, economic and social problems. And that's all we had time for. For questions, comments or suggestions on the program, do send us a text message to +491609575910, an email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link, DW53110, Bonn, Germany. Till next time, I'm Assumpta Latos. Have a good day and bye-bye.